All right.
I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leaders Portfolio Studio. Now joining us is Mr. Krish Himatramka, founder and CEO of Dough Amore, located in Houston, Texas. It's an e-commerce company that manufactures wedding and engagement rings and provides clean water to a person in need for every ring sold. As a result, Krish, you've been able to provide clean drinking water for 3,725 people through 14 wells, which is awesome.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Yeah, so talk about the way you started this model was you used to drill oil on oil rigs, and you realized from that how easy it was to obtain water, and that motivated you to provide water for others. Talk about that.
Yeah, sure, and thanks for having me. And, you know, I was actually an oil and gas engineer. I was working on a drilling rig in Shreveport, Louisiana. And after drilling a few of these wells, I just realized, like, you know, you actually hit water within a few hours of drilling, but then we would drill for days and weeks until we get to that oil. And it was just, you know, it was very confusing to me that there's people in the developing countries without any water. But here we are, you know, just drilling with water within hours and just throwing it away and, you know, just drilling and drilling until we get to the oil. And so I thought, you know, what if, if it's so easy to drill for water, why don't I actually do something about it? And so I decided I was going to start a water organization and go drill water wells for the developing world. But when it came to me doing starting those organizations, I realized there are already so many organizations that exist and a few that do a really good job that it didn't make sense to just reinvent the wheel and, you know, go build another nonprofit. And that's when I decided, okay, I want to go drill water wells, but I need to find an innovative way to help.
And so also at this, around the same time, you you needed to propose. And so you wanted to give your girlfriend an ethical ring that served a purpose. And so talk about then how
Correct.
That also was a piece of starting this company.
Yeah. So, you know, exactly. So, you know, I was the drilling rigs in the, you know, early shifts. And then at night I would get back into my trailer and, you know, basically just relax, and I was looking at engagement ring websites trying to find a ring for her, and it was just bothering me that all of these engagement rings I was finding, they all had ethical questions to them, and so I decided, you know, I need to find an ethical ring. But, you know, not only do I need to find an ethical ring, what if there's some way for me to actually, instead of just finding a ring that doesn't hurt the world, what if I can actually find a ring that helps the world? And so I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find anything. And that's when I decided, you know what, this is it. Like, what if I can actually build a water well when I propose? And so I decided I was going to make a ring. It was going to be ethically made from recycled metals, conflict-free diamond. And when I would propose that, you know, my proposal would actually help build a water well for a community in a developing country. And so my ring was the first, you know, Dough Amore ring, basically. And, you know, after I proposed, it helped build a water well in Haiti. And from there, that was kind of the first Dough Amore ring. And that's kind of how the concept started. And we decided, you know, we're going to sell rings. Every time we sell a ring, it's not only going to be ethically made, but it's actually going to help someone. And that's how Dough Amore started. And that's how we're able to build water wells without, you know, taking any donations. That was a big thing for me. At first, I was wanting to build this nonprofit, but then I realized that, you know, if I am going and asking for donations, am I really helping by just competing with another water nonprofit? You know, like, how is that me being helpful? And so by doing it this way, I found a model where I could help and I wouldn't be hurting any of the existing charities that already exist.
And that's really awesome. Now, is your wife involved in the
Thank
company
you.
Now as well with you?
So, you know, my wife has her own full-time job, but she's obviously my main sounding board, always, you know, providing insight on designs, providing insight on pretty much everything.
Okay.
And so she's not an official part of the company, but definitely, you know, the most important advisor that I have.
That's awesome. Now, a really
yeah.
interesting piece of your model, and I like this about your business, was that you can actually track. So a person buys a ring from you, from Dough Amore.
Correct.
And then the person can track what country they're providing water to when they purchase that win. And they also can obtain a photo of the actual water with GPS coordinates, you know, a year and a half or so after the ring purchase. So they get to see the whole process of where that well is actually being built.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of great companies out there doing really great things. But to me, I've always just had this question, like, you know, whether it's me buying a pair of shoes or whether it's me buying a pair of glasses, there's these social impact models with it. But I've always just wondered, you know, there has to be people out there that would love to actually see the impact that they're having. You know, not everyone can actually go and do charity sometimes, you know, but they're willing to buy a product that supports a great cause. We should actually show them their impact. And so that's exactly right. After someone purchases a ring from us, you know, a water well doesn't get built overnight, but, you know, they get updates. They can go into our website, type in their order number, and they can see what country the well is being built in. And then once the well is complete, you're exactly right. They'll actually get to see a photo of the exact water well that they built, and they'll get the GPS coordinates of the water well so that they can, you know exactly, you know, down to the foot of where they're actually making an impact in the world.
So we know the number of customers because you provided clean drinking water for 3,725
sure.
people. So you've had 3,725
sure.
customers, or maybe some of them have repeats.
Sure.
But of those customers,
sure, yep.
have any of them ever gone to their well and visited the well?
You know, so we have had customers mention that they're going into that country, so they just wanted to make sure the GPS coordinates were accurate. You know, we were able to assure them that they were. We have never received any notes from customers telling us they had gone.
Awesome.
I myself have, though. I got to go to Ethiopia in October, and I got to go see the first well that we actually built in Africa, in Ethiopia, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see. I got to take some videos. And for customers that actually were part of that well, I actually sent them the videos of the well so they could see it. And, yeah, so, you know, I think it would be great for people to get to see that. But at the same time, it is pretty rare for people to go into the remote parts of these wells. Because it's not like the water wells are in the capital of Haiti or the capital of India or the capital of Ethiopia. They're in the remotest villages of these countries where, you know, even where roads don't even go, you know. So, I think it's pretty hard to get to these locations, but, you know, the customers definitely have them if they ever decide to go see it.
And you have 14 wells now in Haiti, Ethiopia, India, Bangladesh, and Nepal. And how did
Correct.
You choose those countries?
You know, so we have, you know, we're working with wonderful nonprofits that have done a lot of research, a lot of work, and, you know, we really use their expertise. They are the experts. They're the ones that truly know what's going on the ground. So, you know, for example, in Nepal, after the earthquake a few years ago, there was a dire need to help. And so that's why we actually are, like, even not just what country, but the type of project, like where in Nepal. So right now our Nepal projects are actually going to be at schools. Because, you know, when a country goes through devastation like that, the one thing you don't want to happen is all of a sudden to set the country back, you know, 50 years because education is not a priority anymore. So we actually have funded wells at schools so that, you know, we can make sure that the younger generation isn't impacted negatively by it. So we really, really do listen to what our nonprofit partners tell us, and we go off of that. You know, there are many countries in the world, unfortunately, that don't have a clean source of water. But those are the five countries we started in, and I hope that eventually we can continue to spread our impact to others.
Now, you had the choice with Do Amare to be for-profit or nonprofit. And you said
Correct.
Even earlier you talked about, should I create a nonprofit or not? You know, not for this business, but
yeah.
initially. You know, you chose a for-profit route. Now, looking back, was that the right mm-hmm. choice for you? And why? And how did you decide that? I'm sure other people are listening,
yeah.
thinking through these same decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like for every organization it is, you know, they definitely do need to go their own path. But for us, I think I definitely made the main choice because what's going on now is, you know, initially when I first started Do Amore, after I proposed, we sold a few rings every couple of weeks or every couple of months, but and that was great. But my what I realized for myself is I am really good at, you know, growing a business. I'm really good at, we created a very high quality product. Like, not only does our product give back, but it's a very high quality, beautiful premium product. And, because we're a for-profit company, we can grow our company now according to the standard business principles, just like any other for-profit company would. And so that's, you know, very helpful for me. If it was a nonprofit company, I just don't know if I would have personally been as effective as a CEO, as a leader at growing the business. But as a for-profit business, you know, I feel very confident in my ability to continue to grow, to continue to scale this. And so for me, it was definitely the right decision, 100%. But, you know, again, there's one really cool thing called a B Corporation, which, you know, some companies should look into, possibly if they're kind of on the fence. I'm not saying a B Corporation is for everyone, but, you know, it could be kind of an in-between step for people that might be on the fence. So the B Corp stands for Benefit Corporation, and it kind of basically is a good designation for people that do want to start a for-profit that has a social impact.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. You're listening to Leaders Portfolio at leadersportfolio.com. And I want to thank the supporters of leadership, some of our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. Here with us on Leaders Portfolio today is Mr. Krish Himatramka, founder and CEO of Do Amore. Now, Do Amore means I give with love. How did you choose that name?
Yeah, so there's three reasons. First, it means I give with love in Latin, like you said. Secondly, it has the words do more in it. And every Do Amore ring does more because you're bringing people clean water. And then third, you know, an engagement ring is all about love. And so we wanted something in there that symbolized love. And of course, Amore, as everyone knows that that means with love. So for those three reasons, it just made perfect sense for us to name it Do Amore. And it's funny, Rebecca, a lot of customers call us and, you know, a lot of times they don't know how to say it. They say, hi, is this Do Amore Rings? Is this, you know, is this the Do Amore Ring company? And it's funny, like, even though they're not pronouncing it right, like, we're happy that customers, you know, however customers want to say it, we're happy, because whether they say Do Amore or whether they say Do Amore, no matter what, they're kind of saying they're basically pronouncing it for one of the reasons why we named it that way. So we're excited about it.
And you also sell through this fingerprint rings. I thought those were really neat. How did you get that idea?
Yeah. I appreciate it. So it's a sad story, actually, but we had a customer once who actually was wanting a ring from us, not to propose with, but because unfortunately someone in their family who they were really close to passed away. And they were trying to find a way to wear a piece of jewelry to which they could remember them by. And so, you know, we kind of asked them, you know, what type of artifacts do you have? Do you have a diamond from them that was passed down or anything? And they didn't. And at that point, we're like, well, hey, you know, do you have something that maybe they've written down to you, like a note? You know, because we could engrave their handwriting for you. And they didn't have that either. And then that's when we kind of thought the fingerprint idea. And we said, okay, well, what about a fingerprint? And they actually did have fingerprints from some government papers. And so they sent us over their fingerprint, and we were actually able to engrave that into a ring. And it just looked beautiful. And it was such a special purchase for that person that we decided, hey, you know, how cool would it be if you could actually get your loved one's fingerprint on your ring so that, you know, even when you're apart, they're kind of with you. And that's kind of how that started. And it's definitely one of our top selling rings now.
Oh, interesting. It is. Okay. Interesting. Now you, you're e-commerce, so you don't have a storefront, but you've sold at least 3,725 rings. How did you get the momentum to sell that much? Did people start hearing about the social impact? Are you doing kind of SEO marketing? How did you get that momentum?
You know, naturally, because of our model and because, you know, we are sourcing ethically sourced diamonds and recycled metals and all of our rings, naturally, we do well in SEO for people searching for that type of product. When you type in ethical rings or ethical engagement rings, naturally, you know, we ended up doing really well. But the other thing that's really helped, honestly, and just to give your listeners a background, we haven't done any marketing really. Even though we've sold so many rings, we've only spent $3,000 or $4,000 in the past 3 years on marketing. So basically, I know that's a lot of money when you're starting out, but over the past 3 years, over $2 million in sales, that's very little in terms of marketing. And fortunately, yeah, that's one of the best parts is by having this nice social impact associated with us, by giving someone water, when someone buys a ring, they go and tell their friends, they go and tell their families, what their ring actually did. And this natural word of mouth marketing is really helpful because instead of spending, money on customer acquisition, we can spend that money on social impact. So we're able to price our rings competitively with other jewelers. We don't have to charge any more. We can still give a very high quality product. And what jewelers would typically spend on marketing, we're just spending on social impact. So we're able to truly grow a sustainable business model just like any other jewelry company would, but we're able to have this impact because we don't have to market.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, what's been challenging about running a company committed to social change and ethics?
Sure. I think the most challenging part is that there is always this fine line of when it, kind of on the lines of marketing. And what do you talk about? Like, when people go to your website, what's the first thing they see? Do they see how you're helping countries get clean water? Or do they see that you sell rings? And, it's kind of a hard way to bridge that gap. As everyone knows, when you go to a website these days, attention spans are shorter and shorter and shorter. So what do you kind of show? What is the goal there? And so that, I think, has been the most challenging part. What do we focus on? Do we focus on the fact that we're, making ethical rings? Or do we focus on the fact that our rings are helping someone? Or do we just focus on the fact that our rings are, some of the most high-quality rings you can get in the world? So that's a challenge. You have a limited amount of time to tell people what you're doing, especially these days with a short attention span. What do you focus on? And that for sure has been the biggest challenge, Rebecca. And I think it'll continue to be for us and for other social impact companies, because you're proud of what you're doing and you want to tell people. But at the same time, you're competing against, jewelry companies that are able to just focus on the rings and, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the rings. They're not going to Google and typing in rings that give clean water because, they don't know that that's out there. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely the biggest challenge.
Are there other social impact corps that you kind of look to as leaders that you think are doing a good job in this field?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And it's amazing because there's just more and more every year. And so I would definitely say I think any social impact company has to at some point acknowledge Tom's Shoes because they kind of were the first that was so successful at it. So I always will acknowledge them in that sense. But besides them, I really do have an appreciation for what Warby Parker did. They sell the glasses, and every time they sell glasses, they help they either help someone gain their eyesight, whether it's through glasses or whether it's through small eye surgery. And so I have a very high appreciation for what they did because they were one of the first companies that scaled so large in social impact and, outside of Tom's. And they did so in a manner where they were able to focus on an industry that needed change. The optical eye industry truly was an old-fashioned industry with, one company kind of having a monopoly, not just in the country, but across the world. And I feel the same way about engagement rings and wedding rings. It's one of the oldest traditions in the world, and it's a very old-fashioned industry. And so I definitely thought that industry was in need of change. And so I look at companies like that because, it's not just about the social impact, but it's also about bringing much needed ethical change to industries that are unfortunately haven't adapted to today's standards. And so those are probably two of the main companies I definitely respected, whether it was in their early days or even now, they kind of are the leaders still.
We mentioned way early in this interview that you were an oil and gas engineer. So where did you get your, what degrees do you have and where did you get them from?
Yes, I actually went to the University of Texas at Austin, where I did mechanical engineering. So I was a mechanical engineer, and you know, obviously being in Texas, a lot of the jobs are oil and gas related. But you know, I was actually interested in oil and gas. I, you know, I'm not one of those people that, like, I know that oil is important. Like, we obviously all use oil, and it is an important resource. So I did go into oil and gas more so out of interest. It wasn't just because I'm in Houston, I'm in Texas, and it was an easy route. I was truly passionate about that industry. And, you know, so that is the reason I joined oil and gas. And it's not that I didn't love what I was doing. For me, it was, you know, for me, there was this decision that I had to make where it was, hey, do I stay in this job or do I leave and go create water wells? And for me, it was an easy decision because I decided that if I left and another engineer came and took my role over, you know, nothing, you know, maybe I was a little bit more efficient, maybe not. There wasn't this huge, you know, by me staying, I wasn't truly saving any lives by helping drill oil and gas wells. Someone else would take my responsibility over. But if I didn't go and start this engagement company that built wells, I knew that, you know, no one else was going to do that. So I decided that, you know, I have to go the thing, I have to go basically do this because if I don't, no one else will. And so it was a very easy decision to leave, even though I loved what I was doing. I really did.
And Krish, final question. What's your overall leadership philosophy?
You know, it's something that I think about at least once a month, you know, and, you know, especially once you start to have employees and stuff, you start to think about this question. And I think for me, it truly is that, you know, find your passion. And once you do, everything else will come.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Krish Himatromka, for joining us in Leaders Portfolio.
Rebecca, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank the supporters of leadership, our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio by sending us an email on our website for a sponsorship packet. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.